Manny Pacheco, and welcome to another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. I've written a paperback I'd like you to read, and it tells America's story through the great character actors of Hollywood's golden age. Joining me on today's program is the radio columnist from the Orange County Register and my good friend Gary Lycan with his weekly On the Backlot report. This week, we honor the music of John Barry. In a career that spanned five decades, the composer won five Academy Awards, four Grammys, two Emmys, and was also inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. His special work appears on some of the most honored motion pictures. Born in York, Barry had a lifetime interest in cinema. In 1957, he formed his own group called the John Barry Seven. His band had two regional hits in England. Both were cover tunes. The former was originally performed by The Ventures. The latter was a composition written by Elmer Bernstein and used as a title track for the film The Magnificent Seven. We have both numbers for you on Forgotten Hollywood. Today, Forgotten Hollywood honors the legacy of John Barry. The composer was mesmerized by the score of the 1960 Western that starred Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson, James Coburn, and Eli Wallach. He developed a lifelong affection for the action saga. In 1962, the producers of the first theatrical film capturing the writings of Ian Fleming became interested in hiring Barry. Though disputed today, John Barry allegedly created the musical image of James Bond. From Dr. No, this is Forgotten Hollywood.
Thank you.
John Barry is our focus on Forgotten Hollywood. He eventually wrote 12 Bond scores, including Goldfinger, Thunderball, Diamonds Are Forever, Moonraker, A View to a Kill, and The Living Daylights. Let's enjoy John Barry, Shirley Bassey, and Bond, James Bond, on Forgotten Hollywood.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. Stroke it and undress it. I can see every part. Nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love, for what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie to me, for when love's gone,
we return to Forgotten Hollywood, we'll present John Barry's award-winning music of the 1960s. Manny Pacheco here. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History, and Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History shares Americana through the eyes of actors who appear under the titles of such iconic movies, such as The Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color. Come on in.
Casablanca.
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History was recently a 2013 gold medal recipient from the Reader's Favorite Book Awards, complete with a star-studded ceremony in Miami. You can purchase the entire Forgotten Hollywood book series on Amazon and at independent bookstores, and you can download the first paperback to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series is a perfect gift. I invite you to visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up a copy of these books today. Welcome back to Forgotten Hollywood. The late John Barry compositions are the subject for today. In 1963, the songwriter collaborated with screen legend Elizabeth Taylor for a television special called Elizabeth Taylor in London. She visited various sections of the country, including the Westminster Bridge and East End, and discussed British history, including the Blitz of 1940. Reportedly, Richard Burden coached Taylor on the delivery of her segments. The commercial success of the show led to the same team doing a Sophia Loren in Rome television show. Though the critics panned the production, Barry was honored with a Grammy and Emmy nomination in 1964.
Thank you.
1966 was a transitional year for John Barry. Two Oscars were appropriately awarded to the gifted composer for his work on the movie Born Free. He suddenly became an A-list songwriter of cinema. By 1968, producers of acclaimed films including A Lion in Winter and Midnight Cowboy, which claimed the Best Picture Award in 1969, came calling. Here are these fine scores on Forgotten Hollywood.
Thank you.
You found us. We're Forgotten Hollywood. John Barry championed an envious string of accolades in the 1970s with music from Mary Queen of Scots, The Dove, King Kong, The Day of the Locust, Robin and Marion, The Deep, and Hanover Street. He also created a super television theme for The Persuaders, which starred Tony Curtis and Roger Moore. In 1980, he created a timeless piece for the Christopher Reeve film Somewhere in Time. His work included the samplings of Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme from Paganini. This is Forgotten Hollywood. Many film critics consider John Barry's best work. It came in the last two decades of the 20th century. He continued to write film scores for Francis, The Cotton Club, Jagged Edge, Chaplin, and Indecent Proposal. He personally considered his effort on Out of Africa his signature moment. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences agreed. Let's remember the best picture of 1985 on Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco, sharing the amazing life of John Barry with you. In 1990, the composer scored an Oscar and a Golden Globe for his collaboration with Kevin Costner on Dances with Wolves. Forgotten Hollywood takes a peek. Once again, a John Barry scored film won a Best Picture Academy Award. Hi, I'm Gary Lycan, and welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot, where we discover the past is still relevant today, where the movies, the music, and the people who brought it to us still touch our lives. So grab some popcorn and join us down front in the theater as we take our stroll through the studio backlot. Barry. John Barry. Okay, it may not have the same ring to it as Bond, James Bond, but the composer's unique link to 007 goes back beyond the memorable movie music. In fact, we learn more about Bond in John Barry's own words. In 1999, he spoke with Terry Gross at National Public Radio. He said, and I quote, "I've never even read a James Bond book. I had only seen like a cartoon strip. So I knew it was about a spy. I just wrote the damn thing, you know." End quote. The first time Barry heard his score in a Bond film was at a screening of Dr. No. He told NPR, quote, "Every time Sean Connery says, 'I'm Bond, James Bond,' it laid the music in all over the damn place. And it worked. I mean, with film, there's no middle ground, you know. It either works or it doesn't. There's no, well, it works a little. A good score is a score that really works 100%, where you just hit all the buttons," end quote. Well, as you know, Manny, one of Barry's best-known creations was the score and the soundtrack music for the Bond film Goldfinger. Big, brassy tunes that were reminiscent of Western anthems. In the NPR interview, Barry called it, quote, "million-dollar Mickey Mouse music," end quote. Earlier in our program, Manny played the Bond movie Thunderball, the movie theme, that is. Thunderball. John Barry told NPR, and again I quote, "That is probably the worst title for a song you can imagine. It was such an abstract title." So they were shooting down in Nassau, and I flew down there. And on the way down, I was reading a magazine. And it said that the Italians had a name for James Bond now, which was Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I thought was really terrific. So I thought, instead of using the word Thunderball, why don't we write a song called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Everybody fell in love with it, so I recorded it with Dionne Warwick and Shirley Bassey. And then the powers that be, United Artists in New York, literally 2 weeks before the movie opened, phoned up and said, "We need that Goldfinger theme. We need that title over the radio. And Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang isn't doing it. We need Thunderball." So I wrote a theme that facilitated the word. And then Don Black wrote the lyric. He then called Tom Jones. I don't think anybody ever really analyzed what the hell he was singing about. And I still don't know what the song is about to this day. But we were given the problem, and we had to live with it. End quote. Manny, who do you think Barry liked best as James Bond?
Well, I happen to love Roger Moore. I'm just a fan, so I'm thinking he's traditional. I don't know.
Wrong. You don't get the prize. Sorry about that. It was Sean Connery.
Okay.
Yes, John Barry told NPR, and I quote, "You just see Sean just walking across the room, just the way. I think I see Manny do this too. Anyway, just the way, his attitude towards the women, towards the guns, toward the killing, and those terrible lines he had to say. I mean, he had to say some of the worst lines ever written. He brought off these, well, I guess he got the point, you know, when he shot that spear into the guy. I mean, they were terrible lines. And it's really extraordinarily good for an actor to bring off a line that corny and make the audience go with it." End quote. Well, Manny, I hate to be the bad guy here, but Steve has given me the signal we're about out of time. So, hey, speaking of villains, I spoke a few moments ago about the only Bond theme about a villain, Goldfinger. Ah, wow, that visual image of Shirley Eaton bathed only in gold. Boy, that certainly gets the heart pumping in this old prospector. What a better way to end the show than with Barry's third theme in the Bond series, Goldfinger. Well, thanks, Manny. Score one for you, if you had the correct answer. But I'll be back still. I'll come back with more of On the Backlot next week.
Thank you, Gary Lycan. And our sterling producer is Steve Guzman. I hope you enjoyed our loving tribute to the work of composer John Barry. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.